Mustang 1-2. Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. If all of a sudden it abruptly changes to something that is totally off topic, it's because we will have been knocked off the air. Once again, our syndicator is running a tandem CD with this program in case one of these tornadoes that is surrounding the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains hits us. Just so you know. This hour is sponsored by Jim Galbraith. It's his birthday! Happy birthday, Jim. He writes, keep up the good fight, Mike. I live in Michigan. Imagine my pain and angst. I hear you. Jim Galbraith is our first hour sponsor tonight. Have you been watching the videos on these meetings, these so-called town hall meetings? Isn't this fun? And we commented on this earlier in the week, watching the all-white, yes, all-white, all over 60, all formerly middle class, most retired, recipients of Social Security, Medicare, government guaranteed retirement packages, and all of a sudden they're coming out of the ether. And they're freaking out. What's the matter, boys and girls? Wasn't that vote against the Kenyan in the White House? Wasn't it good enough? Did you think you were going to get, you're going to vote for Republicans for free, that it wasn't going to cost you just about everything you'd counted on? Wow. I think we have one soundbite that we'll play for you. It has to do with Paul Ryan in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But it's really something to watch. I want to think to myself that these white people are having a massive awakening, you know, like in Cocoon or something, you know, like in the film. You know, all of a sudden they're, But it's, you know, that's not what's going on. What's happening is they are understanding the term or the word betrayal. It is so sad, you know, in a way, it is so sad to see all these poor, misguided white people who have been led so far into Crazyville by sociopaths like Beck and Hannity and Palin and Bachman and Ryan and Limbaugh, you know, the usual gang. So far into it's astonishing how willing these white folks were to buy into the garbage. Yeah, they're going to get all those people on welfare. They're going to get those trillions of dollars in foreign aid that we spend every year. Oh, it must be trillions. I think it's trillions. All those welfare recipients. Oh, damn them. Guess what, boys and girls? The Republicans in Congress don't vote your interests. They'll tell you any lie they can come up with to get into power. You don't get it yet? The Republicans in the House and the Senate are paid whores for corporate America. No offense to real sex workers. That's all they are. Don't you get it yet? You people can't be this stupid. You're starting to go terminal with this stupidity. Do you honestly believe that Paul Ryan or the rest of these people are interested in, we got to cut the debt. well, we've got to do this and we got to do that for our constituents back home. Are you kidding? You still believe that, don't you? Oh, you poor, misguided dolt. Paul Ryan and the rest of the Republican Party, House and Senate, and probably 95% of the Democratic Party, you don't get it yet, do you? They don't work for you. They don't represent you. Oh, my God. You are just a means to an end, you fool. You traipse into the little voting booth, and you push the little thingy, and you mark this, and you mark that, and your vote might be counted, and it might not. If you vote Republican, it probably is, and whoop-dee-doo, your boy wins. Now, let me ask you something. When your boy, and in some cases your girl, when they go to Washington, D.C., whose interests are they going to represent? Yours? Is that what's going on right now? I wonder if you people are ever going to get it. I thought the dumbest suckers in America were the religious right. Members of the religious right, you know, all the time. Well, this candidate's going to stop abortion and make all the queers disappear and, you know, yada, 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 and put Jesus back in the schools and put prayer in the marketplace and yada, 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 yada. You know, whatever the religious right wanted to hear, these right-wing Republicans were willing to say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, of course, oh, yes, we're going to have an amendment. Constitution Amendment mandates prayer in the public schools. We're going to get rid of the Muslims, going to get rid of the gay folks, going to get rid of... you know, marriage is between a man and a woman. No more abortion. No more this. No more women. And the poor nutballs and the religious right bought it year after year after year. And, of course, nothing happened. And now this. All these poor white people. You saw them during the 2008 campaign. And during the 2010 off-year elections, you saw them, you know, the teabaggers, oh my God, with their misspelled signs and their pictures of Obama looking like Hitler and on and on and on. There they are. Oh, yeah, yeah, we can't have this guy born in Kenya. I mean, you know, he's not even an American. Look at his skin. How does it feel, you morons? How does it feel? You're feeling a little trapped right now, are you? Huh? Do you think these Republicans are going to listen to you just because you're farting and wheezing and yelling in these town hall meetings? Do you really think that Paul Ryan had to get a police escort today to get the hell out of his meeting yesterday? Yeah, he had to get the cops. And he was in front of the friendlies. And this crazy bastard down in Florida, what's his name? Alan, what's his name, Kathy? Alan West or something? He gets screamed down. All these Republicans are going back to the home district. Well, hi, everybody. You betrayed us. What? You betrayed us. Man, it's just... But... Here's what you have to realize, normal people. The Republican white voter might feel betrayed right now, but not to worry, because the corporations, the capitalists, since Citizens United, are cranking at the machines, the direct mail, the robocalls, the lies, the TV commercials. And nobody knows who's running these, of course. Koch brothers, the usual gang of sons of bitches. But they're telling people, no, 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 that's not true. Are you going to believe your eyes, your lying eyes? Or are you going to listen to our television commercial? No, no, Congressman Nazi man did not vote to dismantle Social Security. Where did you get that idea? He didn't vote to privatize Medicare. Who told you that? Don't worry about it. This is how it works. This veneer, this pretend democracy, this pretend representative government. I mean, what the hell? I'm a white Republican. I voted for my candidate. He is now a member of the House of Representatives. What do you mean he's not going to do what I voted for him to do? Oh, please, are you that stupid? So no matter what your member of Congress does, it doesn't make any difference. Capitalist, corporate America will fill the airwaves with the most sweet-sounding lies. Oh, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. He didn't vote to take away your Medicare. He doesn't want to privatize Social Security. No, what are you talking about? He didn't vote for tax breaks for the wealthy. He didn't vote to continue to gouge you and treat you like something stuck to the bottom of his shoe. Where in the world did you hear that?
Truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. So as you watch these ridiculous town hall meetings now where middle-aged white people are starting to come out of the ether, notice the cops, notice the security that is now provided. And those of us who still have a brain, like you, like me, we knew this was going to happen. We knew this. But they don't listen. They don't listen. Oh, my God. We have a little piece of sound here that only runs less than a minute. Tom Murray, a reporter for TMJ Channel 4 in Kenosha, Wisconsin, describes the latest Paul Ryan heckling event, this time at a town hall in Kenosha, where he had to leave out the back door with a police escort to escape the grannies. The grannies and Nikes and carrying sticks and clubs chasing his car.
We had an interview set up with Congressman Paul Ryan at the end of his appearance here at Gateway Technical College in Kenosha, but that was scrapped over a security concern.
Oh.
Congressman Ryan left here in a different car than he arrived in over concerns about protesters who were gathered outside. These are the protesters who waited for Congressman Paul Ryan outside Kenosha Gateway Technical College.
I have children and grandchildren, and it will directly affect them.
And keep the commitments that have been made to people, especially those who've been retiring.
Inside a capacity crowd for this listening session.
Do not renew the Bush tax credit for the wealthy.
Oh! This man who disagrees with Ryan gave his phone number out in front of everyone.
I'll debate these points anytime with you. Just call me. My number is 262.
At times, Ryan sounded more like a referee than a lawmaker.
If you're yelling, I just want to ask you to leave. If you're just going to scream out like that, it's just not polite to everybody. I mean, look, we got media here. Let's prove these people that Wisconsinites can be cordial with one another.
While we were watching the congressman speak, we're told protesters outside surrounded his vehicle. So he followed police advice and left out another entrance. Ryan just called me to explain what happened.
There were definitely some loud hecklers who came that gave the police a little concern. I left in another car with the police, and my car, some people did surround it, but they didn't cause any problems, and I had a snapper who grabbed my car, drove it, and we had really no problems.
Yeah.
And Ryan is insisting to me tonight that his hurried, unplanned exit was really not that big of a deal. We can tell you that Ryan also says that the crowds he's been seeing here today at four different stops are much larger than he is used to.
Oh.
In fact, at least two of the stops, the fire marshal ordered local law enforcement to turn people away because there were so many people inside.
Well, imagine that.
I think my favorite part is when he's urging everyone to be cordial and polite, you know, and not ask tough questions while he just guts Medicare, continues right. to give tax cuts to the wealthiest 1% of Americans and decides that, everybody
nice.
Over 55 is going to get a voucher that's going to cost him thousands more a year, but don't raise your voice. Well, why are you angry?
And in case you don't know, at another one of these rallies in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, staged by this freak Representative Alan West, a Republican from whatever the district is down there, he was getting shouted down too. Talk show host Nicole Sandler, who frequently substitutes for Randy Rhodes, we had thought about, different times, chatting with Nicole about substituting here, since she certainly knows the business. But if you look at the video, Nicole Sandler is asked to leave for the obvious reason. She's asking the wrong questions. Alan West was having his ass handed to him by all kinds of white people who are very disturbed to find out that their representative is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Only it never occurred to these dumb jackasses that what he said he was going to do would affect them. I don't know what people use for brain. Well, yes, I do. I just can't say it on the air. So Nicole Sandler got into some kind of a shouting match with somebody. And, of course, they're going to tell her to leave. So as she said, and she did. She started to leave. And then some burly white cop, some jerk who's going to have his union destroyed by the guy up on the stage, is going to have his retirement taken away from him by the guy on the stage, is going to have his Medicare and his Social Security shredded by the guy on the stage. But he works for corporatist capitalist America, so he started to walk behind Nicole Sandler. If you look at the video, you will see Nicole say to him, rather fiercely, "Get your hands off of me." "Well, I'm a cop, lady. I can put my hands any goddamn place I want to." And Nicole said it two or three times, "Get your hands off of me." Well, that's reason to arrest her. And they did. And she was released a few hours later on $25 bond. You see, you can't say to a cop, "Get your hands off of me." The cop doesn't work for you. At an Alan West rally, the cop works for the guy on the podium who eventually is going to gut the cop.
Precious friend.
Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Jim Galbraith. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jim. He writes, "Keep up the good fight, Mike. I live in Michigan. Imagine my pain and angst." I do. I do imagine it. Where was I? About Nicole? Is that where we were when we went into the break? I keep the reason I'm a little fumbly tonight is watching the radar here, local radar. We have some stuff heading our way. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, about the Nicole Sandler bust. What's interesting about the business is that West changed the format to make it look as if questions from the audience were attempts at heckling. There were no microphones, first of all, and second, West insisted upon only written questions, which were screened by his staffers. So Sandler wanted to ask a follow-up to one of the written questions. She wanted to say, "How is privatizing Medicare saving Medicare? How does making something less efficient, more expensive, save it?" "I wanted to ask," Sandler said, "give me the name of an insurance company that would cover a 75-year-old with several ailments." Apparently, that's what she wanted to ask. No microphone, so she shouted to make sure she was heard. That's when she was escorted out. West was doing everything he could to orchestrate this event in such a way as to avoid the hard questions. For a field-grade Army officer, which I guess he was, that's pretty cowardly. Well, West is, like all these Republicans, they don't represent the people who put them in office. They just don't. That was the scam. They really represent their masters, their slave masters, in the financial services industry, in corporate America, the 1% or 2% in this country who, through the force of their wealth, want to control everything. They damn near do now, but certainly the political system. They don't ever, ever want to take the risk of another FDR or even an LBJ. Never. Not ever. They would like to have a Clinton. They'd love to have Clinton back again, but with a little more control. Clinton did pretty much what he was told to do also, but, a little more control. Clinton destroyed and didn't replace it, the social welfare system in this country. He destroyed the, along with the help from Pappy Bush, destroyed the manufacturing base in this country with the NAFTA crap. I'm you know what? I'm not going to get into Clinton. To hell with Clinton. Clinton is history, right? Tim writes regarding Nicole Sandler. She was on the local Pacifica station in L.A. talking about her experience with Brad Friedman. Nicole said while in a holding cell, she had the gall to tell the jailer that she was locked in a storage area and ask if the jailer forgot about her. The jailer said yes, that he had forgotten about her. She then demanded an apology. Well, the jailer then put her in solitary confinement for 3 hours after asking for an apology. After 3 hours, Nicole said that she was in tears. She was broken down. When the jailer came in, she walked out and the jailer ordered her back inside. She was begging and pleading to not put her back in the cell. After a few pleas and no, the jailer then maced her and the spray got into her mouth, eyes, face, and hair. Brad Friedman asked if she resisted or caused a problem. Nicole said no. The fine? $25. Corporate America also owns the police forces in so many instances. You know that. I'm not talking about the individual cops. A lot of them have gone over to the dark side, too. What's this organization? Oath Keepers? Check them out. We will we'll have more as time goes on here. I mean, immediately, I mean, probably tomorrow, probably next week, as the Republican representatives go home to their districts, and the people, the white people who put them in office, are utterly and absolutely enraged. Because they're starting to realize what normal people realized 2 years ago, that the whole teabag movement was about mass economic suicide. That's all it is. That's all it was designed to be. And on the first go around, the teabag candidates managed to lie and BS their way into public office. They managed to convince the terminally brain-dead white people to put them in office, and the white people did. Because, you know, they're sick of having black people stealing all the money. And who's the Kenyan in the White House? See, you know the rap. It's so old, there's no point even going down that racist crap again. But the whole teabag movement is solidly racist down to its very goddamn bottom. It's totally racist. So,
what about Alan West, Mike? He's a black man.
There's a bit of a hedge there because he really sounded like a psycho. He was really going to go up there and do damage to the other black man in the White House. So the white suckers in Fort Lauderdale or wherever, whatever his district is, they say, well, yeah, he might be a Negro, but maybe we better jump on this boy's bandwagon. He sounds tough. And now they're finding out that a Republican, it doesn't make any difference to skin color, you morons. A Republican is going to cut your white throats anyway. Can be a black Republican, a white Republican, a green one. It doesn't make any difference, you morons. They don't work for you. What is so difficult in getting that into your heads? They work for corporate America. You are the means to an end. You put them in office. Now, let's see you try to pry them out. Jerks. I got a special report, The Day America Took Leave of Its Senses. And I'll get to that in a second. I'll share with you Dr. Sachs. He's the man who listens to this program and is a player in the Count Basie Orchestra. Travels the globe and always finds time to, not always, but enough of the time to listen to this program. And Dr. Sachs and I have established some kind of a, you know, online email kind of relationship. He writes to me. Some of his stuff I read on the air. Occasionally I write back to him. I get all intrigued about his itinerary, where he's been, where he's going. He's written to me, where, Kathy? From, I think, from Japan, from Europe, from where else? All kinds of places. I'm going to use the N-word, so just be prepared for it, because that's what Dr. Sachs, who's a black man, he uses it in a quote. He's quoting to me, and to take it out would be censoring what Dr. Sachs said. I'm just not going to do it. I have some pretty strong rules about certain words. He writes to me, "I'm still out here. I don't know what to say lately. To sum up the birth certificate, think of it this way," quote, "That nigger shouldn't be president. I mean, goddammit, he's not even American. Where's your birth certificate, boy? You got a white mama and one of them African fathers? Well, you know what we think of that, don't you? And how'd you get into Harvard, boy? We know you aren't smart enough to get into a school like that. You probably had low grades. I heard you did. Somebody told me that. Must have been one of those affirmative actions to get you into school. I heard Pat Buchanan say he figured it must have been one of those affirmative action things. I want to see your school records, too. I mean, this black guy should not be in the White House. I mean, it's the White House, damn it! Bro, I don't agree with everything that Obama does, but I want you to know I love this man. I've traveled the United States, and I can hardly walk into a diner in the South to eat because I know all the white folks are going to stare at me. I know in little towns I'm going to be looked at as urban. So for this man to be president and to be black and wake up every morning and face this blank, to me, is an amazing accomplishment. There's some more here. We'll come back after the break, and I'll finish with Dr. Sachs's letter. Stay with us.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. I say, preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter, it's gold. After story had never been told, so now you see the light.
Right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Jim Galbraith. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, Jim. He writes, "Keep up the good fight, Mike. I live in Michigan. Imagine my pain and angst." I can only imagine. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate your sponsorship. Back to the email that I got from Dr. Sachs, who lays out a little scenario there in the first paragraph. And about the kind of contempt and hatred that troglodyte whites feel about an intelligent black man being in the White House. Oh, hell, any black man, doesn't make any difference anyway. So back to what Dr. Sachs wrote. He's Dr. Sachs because he works for Count Basie Orchestra. "Bro, I don't agree with everything that Obama does, but I want you to know I love this man. I've traveled the U.S. and I can hardly walk into a diner in the South to eat because I know all the white folks are going to stare at me. I know in little towns I'm going to be looked at as urban. So for this man to be president and to be black and wake up every morning and face the blank that he has to face, to me, is an amazing accomplishment. My mom remembers she's 88, that FDR didn't do everything they wanted right away, and she and others had to pull the president in the direction that they hoped it would go. And just the Civil Rights Act by itself actually took years to accomplish, several presidents, and then years of amendments and laws to put it into action. She remembers the U.S. being in wars and wars. Each looked like the downfall of the U.S. And she remembers the Depression. My grandmother lived to be 99. She was born on a plantation and picked cotton after emancipation. We have a black president, and it makes me proud. I support him. I hope he does the best he can. I hope he can pull. I hope we can pull him certain directions to get some of the things we want. I don't expect to get them all, but this man still does me proud every morning I see him on television. I'm not sure if white America understands what this means to us as black people. And it just can't be any black man. I wouldn't support Michael Steele or some of those other right-wing black politicians. Black people don't just blindly support the black guy. It's got to be the brother who also seems to speak about at least some of our interests. Black folks are used to only getting a small piece of the pie. We're used to disappointment. We're used to not getting everything we want immediately. It occurs to me that some of the white population is not used to that, and they want it all at once. Well, it took 30 to 40 years to get this, to get into this mess, and no president is going to get us out of it very quickly if we recover. And if we do, it may take another 30 years and some forces to be are fighting any progress in the right direction. So the most I can do is keep hope alive. And as my papa would have said, I'll be a son of a bitch. There's a black man in the White House. My father was a World War II veteran and then went on to become an oral surgeon and taught oral surgery for 35 years at the University of Pittsburgh. Peace, bro. Keep on keeping on. Hope is all we have sometimes. Trust me, black folks sometimes in our history were holding on to just hope. Dr. Sachs, thank you for writing. The birther issue is what he's writing about. You know, Trump, we came up with a nickname. Today, from here on, Trump is the rooster. He's the rooster man. Trump, forever, Donald the Rooster Trump. Why? Because he is a dumbass like a rooster. Rooster wakes up in the morning and crows, and then the sun comes up. And the rooster thinks he made the sun come up because he crowed. Donald the Rooster Trump. Rooster! Sup? How many bankruptcies you filed today, Rooster? Yo, Rooster! I could not believe this guy. Oh, please, Republicans, keep supporting him. Yes! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Donald the Rooster Trump. Oh, my goodness. Look, I brought the sun up again. I could not believe that little. I'm real proud of myself. I made the president produce a birth certificate. Jesus. God. Obama did it because Obama is the president of an armed madhouse, to use Greg Palast's term. The latest polls taken by, you know, that stalwart of the publishing industry, USA Today, showed about 43% of Americans either didn't believe he was a citizen of the United States or didn't know. Jesus H. Christ, how did we get to that point? Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's a citizen. I don't know. Ugh. And two-thirds of Republicans, 67% of Republicans, questioned his birth nationality. Which brings me to the Independent of the UK and their special report today, the day America took leave of its senses. I mean, here we have all of our crack anchor people and reporters all over there in London. Yoo-hoo! The prince is getting married. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Everybody just, oh my God, they're just so excited. All the CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, oh, they're all over there. Oh, the prince of the, and the commoner. Oh, this is such a fairy tale. Oh my God, we love this. Oh God. Yeah, we're doing the news from here. What? 8 Americans killed today in Afghanistan, executed. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, oh my God, the prince, and his wife. Meanwhile, the media in the UK look at us as if we are goddamn insane. And there's a reason for that. We'll be back in a minute. Stick around. Truth Seekers. Certainly has dropped his veil of protection over the South, hasn't he, huh? Must be doing something here in the South that is really, really pissed off the sky being. Isn't that what Falwell and the rest of these freaks used to say? Fires, floods, tornadoes, hail damage, on and on and on. From the Independent of the UK. Has there ever been a more absurdly surreal moment, even in U.S. politics, that unchallengeable theater of the absurd and the surreal? One moment we were watching a property magnate with one eye on the presidency, the other on his reality TV show ratings, puffed up like a bullfrog, rejoicing on an airport tarmac in New Hampshire, that America's president of 2 years had finally made public his birth certificate. The next moment, America's TV networks interrupted their schedules to cut to the White House, where the selfsame president appeared to confirm the momentous fact, not that Barack Obama had indeed been born, but that the happy event indeed took place, as no sane person has ever doubted, on the unimpeachably American soil of Hawaii, one August evening in 1961. Of late, however, America has seemed to be taking leave of its senses. A quarter of the population, polls showed, and close to half of Republicans still refuse to believe that unassailable fact. Yesterday, this is in this morning's paper in the UK. Wednesday, in a bid to finally close the discussion, the White House released Mr. Obama's original long-form birth certificate rather than the computer-generated duplicate with which the world thus far has had to make do. It is signed by his mother, the doctor who delivered him, and the local registrar. For the benefit of those who have been living, either literally or metaphorically, on a different planet for the last few years, the document bears witness that Barack Hussein Obama was born to Stanley Ann Dunham and Barack Obama Sr. at 7:24 p.m. on August 4th, 1960. 1961. At Kapiolani Maternity and Gynecological Hospital in Honolulu, Hawaii's capital city. The birther, quote, controversy, in other words, the contention that the 44th president had, in fact, entered this world in Kenya or Indonesia, has moved to the lunatic center of American political debate. And no one has done more to propel it there than Donald Trump. Forced to react to that change, the president yesterday expressed the hope that the matter would now be laid to rest. He had watched, in his words, puzzled and bemused at how the issue had persisted in defiance of all good sense. But the final straw, at least in Mr. Obama's telling, had come a couple of weeks ago when he delivered a major speech on deficit reduction as argument raged over how to tackle the national debt that threatens to squeeze the life out of the world's largest economy. And what, he asked, was making headlines the next day? The birther question! Of course. The president declared, normally I wouldn't comment on something like this, but we don't have time for this kind of silliness, he said. He went on to say that nothing would be done, quote, if we just make stuff up, pretend facts are not facts, and get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers, end quote. The release of the document, which has briefly seemed as pivotal to the existence of the Republic as the U.S. Constitution would, Mr. Obama hoped, laid the dispute to rest, except for a tiny minority who would never be convinced. Mr. Obama concluded, we live in a serious time, end quote. But do we really? Up in New Hampshire, just by coincidence, of course, the scene of the country's first presidential primary 11 months hence, up in New Hampshire, the carnival barker par excellence claimed Mr. Obama's announcement as a colossal victory for himself. Trump proclaimed with the modesty that marks him, quote, I'm really proud. I'm really honored. I feel I've accomplished something really, really important that no one else was able to do. I am really happy this has taken place. We have some issues that are unbelievably important, end quote. Whether, however, this triumph will see the Donald addressing momentous matters like the deficit remains to be seen. Why so long, he wondered. Why had Mr. Obama produced the certificate back in 2007 and 2008? And even now, he mused, puffing his chest, we have to look at it. Is it real? Is it proper? And if the rigorous Mr. Trump is at last satisfied that Mr. Obama was not born outside America and then disqualified from being president, other possible deceptions loom. He said, I've heard he was a very good student at Occidental College in Los Angeles, but he ended up getting into Columbia and Harvard. How did he do so if he wasn't a very good student? End quote. All this may be entertainment, but even if Mr. Trump's goal is not the White House, but a new season on NBC for Celebrity Apprentice, in American politics right now, he is rather more than a sideshow. CNN was quick to squash a Trump claim yesterday that a poll by the cable network showed him running level with Mr. Obama in a hypothetical general election matchup. No such poll had ever been taken. Others have, however, by various news organizations, which put the property tycoon and relentless self-promoter near the top of the Republican field. Everyone's heard of the Donald, even though he promises a decision on whether to enter the race only at the end of next month. The likes of Tim Pawlenty, Michelle Bachmann, and Rand Paul would kill for such celebrity right now. Some, though, ask whether Mr. Obama might have done better by keeping the birther issue alive a little longer. Its very existence suggested that Republicans were indeed a party of extremists, driving away the independents and centrists needed to win in November 2012. None other than Karl Rove, who plotted George W. Bush's two White House victories, has said that Mr. Trump's obsession with the birther issue means he's off there in the nutty right. At moments like yesterday, however, you could believe that everyone's gone nutty. Trump went on. The fact is, nobody has any information, and his people in the United States don't even know which hospital. His relatives don't even know which hospital he was born in. The fact is, if he wasn't born in this country, he shouldn't be the president of the United States, Trump said as recently as a couple of days ago. Sarah Palin. The public rightly is still making it an issue. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if I would have to bother to make it an issue because I think that members of the electorate still want answers. I think it's a fair question, she said several days ago. John Boehner, a week or so ago, it's not my job to tell the American people what to think about his birth. Our job in Washington is to drink and get a tan, listen to the American people. The American people have the right to think what they want to think. Is it 5 o'clock someplace? Where's it 5 o'clock? It's 5 o'clock in London, right? Okay, let's go. Let's get the hell out of here. And so on and so on. You know, I just don't want to devote any time to this. I really don't. That's enough. I just think the rooster was just out of his freaking mind on the tarmac of that airport today. Hey, I made the sun come up. Donald Trump. Jesus God, what a doofus. And this is a numero uno American capitalist, American promoter, American real estate mogul, serial adulterer, gambler. God only knows what this freak is. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, did he ever make Obama cry uncle. Eh?
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
Are you sure it's a good word? 6 feet under? What? That was a great series. This hour, excuse me, we're dodging tornadoes and hailstorms down here, and 126 mile an hour wind, about 30 miles northwest of us. Jesus, I hope the mountain holds, Kathy. This hour is sponsored by Kathleen Sundmark. Hey, Kathleen, and guess what? It is her birthday too. She writes, "Thanks, Mike and company. Keep up the important work." It is an honor of your birthday, Kathleen. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. Did you see this story this morning? A former Justice Department official who told Newsweek magazine that he was one of the sources for a 2005 article in the New York Times about the National Security Agency's program of wiretapping without warrants will not be prosecuted for leaking secret information. Will not be prosecuted. A lawyer for the former official, his name is Thomas Tam, said a federal prosecutor leading the investigation, one William Welch, told the lawyer about 8 months ago that Mr. Tam would not be charged. That decision was first reported by Politico yesterday. The attorney said Mr. Welsh, the federal prosecutor, said they were not going to go after Tam. The Justice Department, nor Mr. Tam, responded to requests for comment about all this. At a discussion with reporters today, Attorney General Eric Holder did not dispute the report, but declined to say whether the larger leak investigation also had ended. Holder said, quote, I don't want to necessarily comment on open and closed matters.
On open and closed matters? No kidding. Well, that means you don't want to comment on anything, right? It used to be, we don't comment on an active, ongoing investigation. Eric Holder has added a dimension to it. He says, I don't want to necessarily comment on open and closed matters, but I will say that these matters get reviewed by career lawyers in the department. They look at these matters in an exhaustive fashion and reach what I think are appropriate conclusions, end quote. Pressed to say more, he added only, quote, these matters get examined, career people make decisions, and that is what happened here, end quote. Oh, God. Mr. Holder, if you're not going to pursue criminal proceedings against someone who leaked sensitive information about your, well, it's not yours really, although you probably could put people up on charges if you were so inclined. Oh, no, we have to look forward. If you're not going to prosecute Mr. Tam, why are you holding Bradley Manning? Well, this may be one of the reasons. The Times reported back in December 2005 that Bush had directed the NSA to conduct electronic surveillance of Americans without obtaining warrants. That is a violation of law and was an impeachable offense. The two reporters who wrote the article, James Risen and Eric Lichtblau, won the 2006 Pulitzer Prize for National Reporting. Bush denounced the New York Times, and under Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the Bush Justice Department began an investigation into who had leaked classified information to the reporters. I see. Selective prosecution. Why, of course. Bradley Manning is not a Pulitzer Prize winner. Matter of fact, he's not a journalist. He's a whistleblower. He's somebody who saw the lies, the deception, the murder, the mayhem, the corruption, the filth, and decided to release the information to a news source. He's a whistleblower. And the New York Times has published at their discretion, as have newspapers around the globe. Just like the New York Times and newspapers around the globe published the truth about George W. Bush ordering his Justice Department to spy on Americans in violation of the law. But Bradley Manning is sitting in a prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Selective prosecution, equal protection under the law. What a goddamn joke.
Good night.
Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, and see what good it'll do you. They're brain dead. They put their hands over their ears and go, la, 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 la. All right, we are literally, this is starting to freak me out, Kathy. We are literally surrounded by tornadoes here. I am just amazed that we are still transmitting from the secured Malloy compound here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. It is all over the place. But we're still here. This hour is sponsored by Kathleen Sundemark. It is her birthday. Happy birthday, Kathleen. She writes, thanks, Mike and company. Keep up the important work. Well, thank you for sponsoring the program very much. There is a preacher, pastor, minister, whatever, one of these mega churches, I think it's in North Carolina, has come out with a book who, and he's advancing the theory or his idea that maybe there is no hell. Well, the fundamentalist preachers have gone berserk. Just absolutely crazy. See, the foundational message of the Christian faith is your ass is doomed. Your ass is doomed. Totally. And not just your ass, but your immortal soul. Everything about you is doomed to just, you know, whatever your burden here on earth is, it'll be magnified a trillion times. I mean, it's unspeakable what happens after you die. You're doomed. Hieronymus Bosch tried to paint pictures to let people know what was awaiting them. Unless... Unless you bought the Christian faith. Now, I have just this weird thought today when I was laying in the batteries and making sure I knew where Molly's bike helmet is. Because this thing is supposed to really slam us here in the where we're located. Within the next hour, I had this thought. The Jews, Christians, and Muslims, they all, you know, they all have the same God. They have the same, they recognize, well, the Jews don't. The Jews don't recognize Jesus other than, you know, not in their theology. You know, he's a nice guy, a rabbi, a little crazy, thought he was a Messiah. As far as the Muslims, yeah, okay. Jesus, nice man. Son of God, nah, But they all, you know, they all are offspring of Abraham. And Abraham, do you know Abraham is in hell? Abraham is burning in hell, even as we speak. King David, burning in hell, tortured, suffering the torments that only can be found in hell. Adam and Eve are in hell. Jonah is burning. You know, hell with a whale. He is burning. I mean, all of them, they're all burning in hell. Every single prophet, they're roasting, they're cooking. Solomon, burning in hell. Noah and his whole family, roasting in hell. You know why? Because they never were born again. They didn't accept Jesus Christ as their, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That seems pretty explicit, pretty right on. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Adam and Eve in hell? Okay. Seems kind of Moses in hell, Joshua in hell, burning, cooking, roasting, suffering the tortures of the damned. Really? Boy, what a merciless religion, huh? Just... Moses in hell. What else do we have here? Don't forget, there is a nuclear disaster occurring. And now, according to Bloomberg.com, radiation readings in the Fukushima reactor have risen
to the highest since the crisis began. Which is impeding efforts to contain the worst nuclear crisis probably in the history of the planet, unless you count Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I would say that they were the worst nuclear crises ever. Two robots sent into the reactor number one building at the plant on Monday, took readings as high as 1,120 millisieverts of radiation per hour. That's more than four times the annual dose permitted to nuclear workers at the stricken plant. Four times the annual dose. This is occurring every hour. The disaster there, this apparently cannot be contained, cannot be controlled, cannot be mitigated. Isn't this the way it's beginning to look? This is pretty astonishing. But you notice we don't concern ourselves about this now. I mean, Prince William is getting married on Friday. The level of, according to the Tokyo Metropolitan Institute of Public Health, the level of, radiation in Tokyo's water supply fell to undetectable levels for the first time since March 18th. That's according to Tokyo's Public Health Institute. They said today, not to worry. No problem. On March 23rd, a month ago, Tokyo residents were told that the city's water was unsafe for infants after iodine and cesium levels exceeded guidelines. But no problem now, right? Japanese government and their capitalist allies. You know, you think the United States is in capitalist hell with their government. The relationship between the corporatists, the capitalists, and the Japanese government has been since the crises of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The space between capitalist Japan and the Japan ruling party, that space has been non-existent. And so TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, continues to lie. There's a piece in the Times today about a whistleblower 13 years ago, a Japanese inspector who warned that this was going to happen. He said at the time, 13, 14 years ago, that TEPCO was lying in its safety reports. The situation at this nuclear power plant with the 5-6 reactors is not going to be stopped unless the world's engineers can come up with something. Are the world's engineers working on this? Are there Russian engineers, Chinese, American, Brazilian, South African, Israeli? Are they there? Are they working on this? Or is everybody just, well, it's Japan's problem? I mean, I honestly don't know, because I live in a country where hours upon hours of time that could be devoted to explaining to us what is going on is spent to the contrary and telling us about Donald Trump and the birther madness and Prince William is getting married. So I don't know. Is anybody on this? Is anybody, you know, people who are there nuclear engineers there? Are there physicists? Are there structural engineers? Are there people who are determining what to do to stop this? Or is it just la 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 la? Don't bother me. I want to watch Prince William, and what is the beautiful young woman's name? Kate Middleton. Get married on Friday. I don't want to think about nuclear meltdowns. I just don't want to think about it. We'll be right back. The skin off of a freak named R. Bruce Johnston. Yeah, stick around. Prairie 2 sends a missive tonight. The man behind the curtain, Ben Bernanke, held the very first press conference in nearly a century of the Federal Reserve, having dominated our banking system. His excuse for changing this ignore the man behind the curtain policy was that he believes in transparency at the Fed, but at the same time, the Fed has been dragging out the court appeals, which they've been losing, involving Freedom of Information Act requests from news outlets, mostly Bloomberg. The Fed, under Alan Greenspan, committed a host of unethical and perhaps more accurately criminal acts of conspiracy with the Bush crime family over many years to further his, Alan Greenspan's, Ayn Rand belief that the rich are rightly the privileged few. Greenspan literally built a house of cards or paper dollars to create a system where the rich could extract trillions of wealth from the middle class under the guise of a modern banking investment system that made the conventional manufacturing economy obsolete. When the house of cards utterly collapsed in 2008 after Greenspan had conveniently retired, his successor simply issued new cards. Trillions and trillions of them to prop up banks and major corporations that by any normal standard were simply bankrupt. This was, of course, done with the full blessing of the Bush administration and rubber stamped by the Congress with the so-called TARP program, which was created by Congress under threat of martial law from Bush. The TARP program at $700 billion was chump change compared to the bailout from the Fed, and the fact that the TARP has largely been paid back is completely irrelevant. It's hard for most people to wrap their heads around the concepts used by the Fed to justify what they do, and for good reason. It's all crap. The rich, privileged class the Fed represents and acts on behalf of do nothing, produce nothing, and consume much. The fact that the economy continues to operate is simply a parasite-host relationship, and not because the Fed is trying to meet its legal mandate to control inflation and maintain employment. In fact, they don't even make any pretense of doing anything about 7 million workers who lost their jobs in the crash, or the 5 million who have come to working age since who don't have jobs. They act as if unemployment were some act of God, completely unfathomable to mortal man. Unregulated predatory capitalism is a given to them and not the problem. At the current rate of so-called recovery, these 12 million jobless won't be completely integrated into the economy for another 10 years. This time frame prediction is also baseless. If it were to happen, however, this is about how long it took to recover from historical bank panics, what they called depressions, before there was a Federal Reserve. The Fed was created to prevent bank panics, but did nothing to stop the mother of all bank panics in 1933, and FDR dictated Fed policy thereafter in order to achieve a recovery, while the New Deal kept the system on an even keel for decades. Well, the New Deal has been repealed, and we are living with the result. While the Fed halted the bank panic of 2008, they aren't likely to stop the bank panic of 2012, and it could be a civilization ender. Footnote. It might take longer than 2012. The Mayan accountants could be off a year or two. PrairieNumeral2.com. Visit his website, Bruce Enberg, who is our economic affairs correspondent. Bruce needs to, all he needs to do is to put all of these blogs that he's written at his website or sent to us and just put them together in book form. This hour has been sponsored by Kathleen Sundmark. It is her birthday. Two birthday people tonight. She writes, "Thanks, Mike and company. Keep up the important work." Well, Kathleen, thank you very much for the sponsorship this hour. We do appreciate it. That sounds so weak. We do appreciate it. That sounds like, hey, listen, thanks for coming to Target. We do appreciate your business. You know, it's much deeper than that. The people who provide these hour sponsorships are appreciated much more than we appreciate that. I don't know how else to say it. Thank you, Kathleen. Chris writes in, Mike, the Fukushima Daini number 2 nuclear plant is within the no entry zone. It has 4 reactors. Fukushima Daiichi has 6 reactors. So there are 10 problem reactors, not 6. Man, why is this not? Why is this not being talked about? Has American media written off the country of Japan? It doesn't matter anymore. It's just, goodbye, Japan. Hey, listen, hey, see you around. Goodbye, Japan. Sorry, tsunami, earthquake, goodbye. I don't understand. All right, stick around because I'm going to kick some ass this next hour. I'm just pissed off enough. And that is if the tornadoes leave us alone. Holy Toledo. Go to the Weather Channel and take a look at what's going on down here. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
just a complete, I don't know, case of the horrible giggles about, you know, about this disclosure that we talked about earlier, the birth certificate. Jesus, God. This hour is sponsored by James Higgins. Thank you, James Higgins, very, very much. We do appreciate it. All right. As promised, I want to get to this further example of the complete assault on voter participation as engineered by the Republicans and the corporatists and the capitalists. This has been going on for some time, but the examples now are becoming more and more blatant. The Citizens United was just the first shot. well, not the first shot, but it was one of the bigger shots fired at you and me and the people down the street and the people across town and the people, two county roads over. You know, all of us who still vote, even though we have the sick feeling. I don't know if you do, but I do. I go to a precinct. It's in a church. It's in an ethnic, heavily, why am I saying ethnic? It's an African-American church in not far from where we live. And when we go there to vote, there are black and white voter registrars who sit there, men and women, usually older folks, handing out the forms and logging you in and checking your photo ID and all the things that need to be done. And in the past, when Molly was in preschool or kindergarten, we used to take her with us to go vote so she could see at a very early age. And, of course, we didn't this year because she was in school. But, voter day, election day, voter day? Come on, Mike. Election day, first of all, in my opinion, should be on a weekend. It should probably be 3 days long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You go vote. The process of voting should be made as easy as possible. Now, the power in this country, as it's gotten more and more concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, the power doesn't want that at all. As you've heard many times, capitalism would much rather deal with dictators, would much rather deal with totalitarians. It's much easier. Dealing with a democracy or a democratic republic where the people have a say, at least on paper, as to how their society is going to be run, how much crap can be dumped into the water, how much filth can be injected into the air, how much poison can be put in their food. The people like to have a say about that. Well, capitalism, no. We'll decide what are tolerable levels of pollutants and poison and death and destruction that goes into your environment. We'll decide that. And we will decide it based on what is the more profitable for us, leaving it in or taking it out. But I digress. Anyway, voters ostensibly have always had a say in how they're governed. You know, to offer the consent of the governed. That's what voting is all about. To say to the people who want to run for political office, okay, we've heard your story, and we'll give you a shot. Now, capitalism hates that. Corporatism hates that. The Chamber of Commerce despises it. It turns the stomachs of the executive board of the Chamber of Commerce. Voting? The people saying what is and is not going to happen? Are you out of your minds? Well, a couple of examples. From the Times this morning, the president, or not the president, but the top lobbyist at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now, a lobbyist is a thug if it is a lobbyist for capitalism or corporatism. This is a person. Now, if it's a lobbyist for public interest, well, of course not. I mean, somebody who's lobbying for clean water, for Christ's sake, or lobbying to lower the lead content in the in paint or in gasoline to save children's lives, that lobbyist is a saint. But a lobbyist who works for the Chamber of Commerce or the oil industry or the gambling industry or they pick one. They're thugs, killers, murderers, liars, cheats, bastards. And this guy who is the top lobbyist for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is among the worst of the worst. His name is R. Bruce Justin. R. Bruce Justin. And he said in an interview that the Chamber of Commerce, quote, is not going to tolerate, end quote, not going to tolerate what the Chamber sees as a, quote, backdoor attempt, end quote, by the White House to silence private sector opponents by disclosing their political spending. So what's this all about? What's this all about? It's a yet unannounced plan from the Obama administration to force government contractors. That's all. Just people who come to Washington to suck at the public trough. These filthy, vampiric bastards like R. Bruce Justin of the Chamber of Commerce, who come to Washington with their hands out, their left hand out, and their right hand holding a gun, demanding money, metaphorically speaking, of course, demanding taxpayer money. They're lobbyists, demanding laws, demanding how things are done. Now, the bag that they're holding out, when I said demanding money, let me correct myself. The bag of money is to hand out to their whores in Congress. No offense to sex workers, real sex workers. I'm talking about the whores, the bastards in Congress, in the House and the Senate. So here's our Bruce Johnston, who collects money from the capitalists and the corporatists who want to continue the destruction of your country, my country. They want to continue to devour it, tear it to pieces, end it, blow it apart. The Chamber of Commerce collects money from these corporatist bastards, takes the bag of money, and goes to Washington and, in essence, hands it out. Campaign contributions. Unlimited. Any amount from corporations. Do you know what the burr up our Bruce Justin's ass is right now? A law that would force the Chamber of Commerce, actually not the Chamber of Commerce, a law that would force companies that suck up tax dollars to reveal their political giving. Who did they give to? Who did they support? Which member of Congress, Republican, Democrat, Senator, Representative, Independent, it doesn't matter. The law is all-inclusive. That's what Obama and certain members of the administration want revealed. Who have you given money to? R. Bruce Justin said, "We're not going to tolerate a backdoor attempt to silence private sector opponents by disclosing our political spending." Really? That's called trying to silence private sector? Jesus Christ!
We'll be right back.
with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The assault on the right of self-determination and by the use of the ballot. Of course, we all know that that assault has included the voting machines, ESNS and Diebold, and all these machines that use internal systems that are proprietary. That means, you know, it's none of your goddamn business. You know, to privatize voting, how did that happen? How did that happen? But it's happened. It's happened. You and I, if you vote on a machine, and we do here in Georgia, you never have any idea. You do not. You just have to take it all at faith. I live in a state that's run by a combination of Nazis and Stalinists in the modern form. They're called Republicans. They're called right-wing Christian Republicans. And they have zero respect for self-governance. None at all. Because, you know, people do things like insist that they have clean water or decent air or good schools or a job. And you can't have that. You can't have that kind of independent voice out there. You've got to control it. Well, that's exactly what our Bruce Jostin, the lobbyist, the chief lobbyist for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, he says he is not going to tolerate a backdoor attempt by the White House to silence private sector opponents by forcing them to disclose their political spending. Jostin said, "We will fight it through all available means." And then he compared it, well, in a reference to the attempt by his fellow capitalists to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. This pig, R. Bruce Jostin says, referencing the White House, to quote what they say every day on Libya, "All options are on the table." What does that mean, you rat bastard? Does that mean you're going to send drone aircraft to lob a missile at the White House if you don't get your way? Is that what that means? You're using a country that is under assault, that is being bombed, rightly or wrongly. I'm not going to judge on that right now, Mr. R. Bruce Jostin, you filthy pig. But you're using that as an example. And the war talk that goes along with that. By the bombers and the killers who run U.S. foreign policy for the past century. So you're going to use that language. Does that mean you're going to back it up? What are you going to do, Mr. R. Bruce Jostin? Are you going to missile attack the White House? Is that what you are threatening? All options are on the table, just as they say about Libya? There's no restraints on these sons of bitches. Given a chance, they would. Look what happened to FDR. Look at the attempts to kill him. The attempts to overthrow the government back in the 30s. So these sons of bitches would do anything. Look at the Project for the New American Century. Look at the attack on this country on September 11th, 2001. Look at the plan that was put in place, an attempt to put it in place back in the 60s. To make it appear that Cuba had attacked the United States, the same way it appears that Muslim radicals attacked the United States. Operation Northwoods. Look it up. So there's always a threat from the capitalists. They cannot stand representative government. It doesn't work for them. Why do you think? Why do you think that the safest places for offshoring your filthy corporation is in a country that is either too poor and run by a dictator, or very rich and run by a dictator, or a country that, regardless, you are going to have a better business environment, Mr. Capitalist or Mrs. Capitalist, Miss Capitalist, if you do business in a dictatorship. It has always been thus, it'll always be thus, until we, the people, destroy a system that is, in fact, destroying us. We haven't waked up to that yet, apparently. Not enough of us. So, No final decision has been announced by the Obama administration. But a spokesperson for the president says that Obama is considering issuing an executive order requiring all wannabe federal contractors to disclose direct and indirect political spending of more than $5,000. And that has caused our Bruce Johnston to crap his pants and to threaten war on the White House. Think about it during this break. And we'll come back and talk about this some more. Our Bruce Johnston calls that an attempt by the Obama administration to silence private sector opponents. Silence them about what? You son of a bitch, all they want to know, if you come to the Obama administration looking for money, looking for a contract, tell us who you've contributed to, tell us what your political spending is, or get the hell off our back porch, you punk.
Here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by James Higgins. And he doesn't have a message. Thanks, James. We appreciate it very much. So that's the skinny. The Obama administration has a plan to force government contractors to disclose their political giving. That's all. Now, do you suppose the Obama administration wants to know their political giving? Don't you suppose they would know? Who is it that is supposed to benefit from knowing who these corporations are giving money to? Wouldn't it be we, the voters? But see, we, the voters, don't matter anymore. I mean, we are totally superfluous to the system as it stands right now, really. We play this little game every election day where corporate America, for the most part, makes a decision as to who the candidates are going to be. And then we, like good little punks, we all traipse into our little voting booths where the voting has already been decided before you cast the first ballot on some of these machines. It depends on the district you're voting in, and we all pretend, oh, we're voting. Look, Molly, this is what Mommy and Daddy do. It's called voting. And Molly, or maybe your six-year-old, stands there and goes, mm-hmm, yeah, right, okay. The Chamber of Commerce does not want to have anyone, any of its membership, which would be just about every corporate pig in America, to be forced to disclose who they're giving money to. So the bill is, you know, it's just an idea right now. It's an unannounced plan. And I don't think it requires government. It doesn't require approval by the House or the Senate. It would never go anywhere. This can be done by executive order. I think, yeah. Yeah, well, of course. So our Bruce Johnston, this big-ass lobbyist from the Better Business Bureau, says, we will fight this through all available means. Now, the order could, for instance, force a military contractor, as reported by Eric Lichtblau in this morning's New York Times, the order could force, for instance, a military contractor or an energy company looking for federal dollars to report money it gave to the Chamber of Commerce or some other advocacy group to help finance political ads and expenditures. Doesn't that make sense? If you are coming for money from the government, Government spends billions, trillions, right? Especially in the defense industry, subsidizing this industry, underwriting that industry, giving money to the banking, the bankster, gangster bastards in Washington, to the insurance industry, the health insurance industry, which is full of filth and disgust and contempt and lies and deceit and fraud. But they still show up every day going to the government they say they despise. Give us more money. Give us more money. Okay, sure. We'll give you more money. Oh, by the way, the money we give you, the money that you make, steal, take away from the American public, where do you spend it when you spend it on political advertising?
What? Oh, God, we're not going to tell you that. You're trying to silence us, aren't you?
No, we're trying to ask you to speak a little louder. We want you to tell everybody.
Oh, you're trying to silence the opposition.
No, we just want to know where you're making political contributions, where you're making contributions to advocacy groups that then put out lying ads to influence and destroy the American public's ability to think. That's all we want to know. Come on, boys, you can do it.
No, no. We'll send a missile into the White House before we reveal that. Metaphorically speaking, you know, I didn't mean a real missile when I said all options are on the table, like you guys say about Libya.
That's a direct quote from our Bruce Johnston. Can you threaten an act of war against the administration and get away with it? Well, apparently you can. Our Bruce Johnston doesn't have a problem, no problem with it. After hundreds of millions of dollars in anonymous political spending corrupted and destroyed the last election cycle in 2010, following that Citizens United Supreme Court decision that was ruled upon and ruled in favor of Citizens United by the five neo-Stalinists, the Catholic neo-Stalinists on the Supreme Court. What a bunch, huh? Okay, they're not all Catholic. I think all five of the justices who ruled are Opus Dei kind of Catholics.
Suffer! You'll get your reward in heaven!
You know, that kind. After all those millions of dollars following the decision in the Citizens United case, Democrats tried to pass a bill known as the Disclose Act. Disclose Act! That would require reporting of political spending. But it was blocked by Senate Republicans.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
What is it that they don't want you to know? What is it they don't want me to know, these Republicans? I mean, it's just political spending. I mean, we all know it goes on. What is it they don't want us to know? That they are completely and utterly destroying our system. That's what they don't want us to know. Well, it's already destroyed. But they want to continue the destruction and make it complete so we cannot recover from it, so that we cannot rebel against it, so we cannot tear it down, smash it into the ground, and build a system that makes sense. Democrats now are turning to other means to get political contributions disclosed, including this possible White House order and a lawsuit that was filed last week against the Federal Election Commission to achieve similar ends, according to Eric Lichtbaugh at the New York Times. When asked about the possible order this week, the White House news spokesman Jay Carney said, quote, what the president is committed to is transparency, and he certainly thinks the American taxpayer should know where his or her money is going, end quote. Well, you know, with that statement, yes, hell yes, hell, double hell, triple hell yes, Mr. President, you betcha. Way to go, Jay. Transparency. Let's have it. Oh, by the way, any chance you could free Bradley Manning? No, different topic. Sorry. Lost my... just one second, Jay, before you leave the podium there, since you are the president's spokesman. Any chance you could make the changes that were promised at Guantanamo and our torture chamber? No? Different topic? Okay, sorry, Jay. Sorry, Mr. President. Okay, we'll move on. Let's go back to the topic at hand. Transparency. Unless, of course, that transparency comes in the form of a document dump at the WikiLeaks website that shows the lies and deceptions and not that kind of transparency. We get it. It's okay. We understand. We get it. We get it. But transparency and where the money's coming from and where the money's going to the corporate pigs who waddle up to the Treasury and say, I want more money. But, no. And I love what Eric Lickbaugh writes here. He says, the sparring over this issue disrupts several months of relative calm between the White House and business leaders. I didn't know there was calm. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce spent $42 million. Visible dollars in the 2010 midterm elections to try to bring down the policies of the past 10 Democratic presidents. $42 million to smash it into the ground. We need to smash back, don't we? And since we don't have money, you and I don't have any money. Do you have $42 million in the bank? Huh? How about you and your friends? How about me and my friends? No, we'd just be difficult to come up with that kind of money. Or $100 million to just float the possibility of a candidate that we would like. Or half a billion to get that man or woman elected. Or a billion if we really wanted to get serious about our electoral system right now. Money, 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 money. So we don't have that. We can't smash the state through the electoral process. So how do we do it?
Well, let me think about that a while, Mike. I'm not going to say it on the radio, though, because, you know, I know your program is monitored.
You get what I'm saying, don't you, Truth Seeker? Mr. R. Bruce Johnston, the chief whore, no offense to sex workers, for the Chamber of Commerce, in an interview with Eric Lichtblau from the New York Times, in an interview at his spacious office in view of the White House, said the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was concerned about a variety of Obama administration policies that it considered potentially damaging to business in a time of economic uncertainty. Those concerns include the efforts to carry out last year's health care plan that benefited the health insurance industry, of course, a vast expansion of business regulations under the Dodd-Frank measure passed by Congress that just tries to get the thieves, liars, and sons of bitches out of the financial services industry, and the slow pace of new trade agreements with foreign nations. That means more so-called free trade bills that would further destroy the economic base in this country. Our Bruce Johnston doesn't like that. Been sponsored by James Higgins. Thank you, James. So, our Bruce Johnston, one of the people who despises America, he's the chief lobbyist for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He hates everything about this country that is good and decent. and communitarian and socially constructive. R. Bruce Johnston in the U.S. Chamber of Commerce hates everything decent about this country. The only thing R. Bruce Johnston, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, loves is the profit they can wring out of anything they touch. There must be profit. Jesus, Christianity, show me the profit. Religion, where's the profit? And I don't mean the prophet that speaks about things to come. I mean the prophet that clinks into my hand in the form of gold and silver and, okay, paper dollar bills that really aren't worth anything, but it's still, everybody pretends it's profit. This is all they care about. Anything good and decent, rational, or just is debris to be swept away. Get rid of it. It doesn't mean anything. It just impedes our search for profit. We are, after all, capitalists. The Business Roundtable, that's another one of these business associations made up of leading chief executives. Another group of filth, just absolute filth. You show me a CEO who has, in the top five of his list of priorities, anything to do with the betterment of the society. And I'll show you somebody who's going to be fired as soon as that's disclosed. But the Business Roundtable, CEOs, also demanded that the White House not move ahead with this draft order of disclosure as to where they make their political contributions. Now, should they be forced to make their political contributions? You're goddamn right they should. Why? Why? Because they're asking for my money. They're asking for your money. These are people who are coming to the government, who want a government contract. If they want to go out and play grab ass with each other and destroy the economy, go ahead, boys. But when you come for the public dollars, you're going to do what the public needs in order to know what side of the fence you're playing this morning. And that means disclosure. Right? Don't you just love these sons of bitches? They will do anything they can to end the women, infants, children feeding program. Well, you're going to have to disclose everything. If you're applying for that, we want to see a birth certificate. That idea isn't played out now. We want to see a birth certificate. We want to see how many kids you got. We want to know if the guy that got you pregnant comes over and smokes crack with you. We want to know everything about you. But us? Phew! We are the power. We're not going to disclose a goddamn thing. You serious? Yesterday, 27 Republican senators also sent Mr. Obama a letter accusing him of playing politics by proposing that these leeches and cockroaches and bloodsuckers disclose who they're handing off money to. What do you want to bet their 27 senators who are on the suck line of getting all this money? Oh, we don't want anybody to know that we get money from this one or that one. We're senators, for Christ's sake. Well, you know, what's this about? 27 Republican senators. I'm surprised that 27 Democratic senators didn't send the same letter to Mr. Obama. You know what I'm saying? R. Bruce Johnston said that the order to reveal. Now remember, these are companies that are coming for public dollars, tax money. But R. Bruce Johnston in the Chamber of Commerce, the chief whore for them, no offense to said real sex workers, said that the order is now drafted would also stifle free speech rights for businesses. Stifle! Free speech rights for businesses that took public money by subjecting these businesses to harassment and protests if their political spending were disclosed. Really? Who would harass you? Are you using the Target Corporation as an example? after it was disclosed that the company gave $150,000 to a Minnesota business group that supported a Republican candidate who wanted to outlaw homosexuals? No. Homosexual, not just homosexual marriage, but wanted to outlaw everything about gay people. Oh, we're not supposed to know that. Target doesn't want us to know that, because we might feel that that's antithetical to the idea of equal protection under the law, and we might respond by telling Target to go F itself and start shopping at Walmart. No, we can't go there. God, who does that leave? Well, Costco. You see how this works? Of course you do. R. Bruce Johnston at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, their chief whore, no offense to real sex workers. Look here into your radio, Mr. Johnston. You see what I'm holding up? You see this? My right hand. You see which fingers are down and which one finger is up? Do you see that, Mr. Johnston? Good. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.